James chapter 3, I'm going to ask you if you're able, if you'd stand with me as you read out of respect for the reading of the Word of God. James chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. James chapter 3, verse number 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. My Father, I thank you for your love for us. And I thank you for this passage and its liberating truth. And I pray tonight that you would meet with us. Holy Spirit, I cannot convict or convince. That's your job. I ask you to do it. Father, I need you to take over. I pray that you'd empty me of me. I pray that you touch my mind that I may think right, my mouth that I may speak right, and my heart that I may be right, that I may be a usable vessel for you tonight. May I not muddy the waters or stand in the way of your working. And I ask this the only way I know how. Through the name and through the blood of my Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The tongue. You know, when you open up James chapter 3 and you begin to read about the tongue and the damage that the tongue can do, I think all of us immediately have regrets. Things that we have said, or maybe things that we wish we had said differently. How about this? You meant what you said, but you said it in such a tone that it set somebody off. I learned very early on in our marriage that it's not so much what I say, it's how I say it. Maybe you men are like that. You're like, yeah, I'm with you. I don't know. You young guys, you'll get there, all right? But what we say will either destroy or build up. All throughout the Bible, you find passages where the Lord speaks about our tongue and how we ought use our tongue. He tells us that we ought use our tongue for edifying, but many times we don't use it as such. When I was in Bible college, you would always hear these guys, and you know, the select crowd, the crowd that just kind of sticks out because they have a chip on their shoulder, or because, you know, they're the guys that are, you know, the called to the college, and you just want to avoid them all you can. And the guys who want to be critical about everything, and they come up to people, and in their idea of building up, really they're just tearing down. Well, I came up with a statement for these guys, and it probably wasn't spiritual. It probably wasn't godly. But when I'd hear it, I'd say, edify, stupid. And then later I thought, you know what? That wasn't edifying either. And I was just as guilty as they are. But it's easy for us to say without thinking. My 5-year-old said something today. And she said something that wasn't kind. Now, she was just playing, but still it wasn't kind. And so I set her down and I said, now listen, we don't say things like that. You need to think before you speak. And she said, but what if I just speak? And I said, you need to think first. And she said, I don't think until afterwards. And I said, that does not work. You need to think about it first. And if it's not nice, why say it? In high school, I had a teacher who didn't always watch what he said. And so when people would get offended at what he said, he would always say something like this, I'm sorry that you got offended. Instead of, I'm sorry for what I said. And a lot of times we think it's everybody else's fault for how they take what we said, instead of us comparing what we said to the Word of God. And you open up James chapter 3, and yes, the entire chapter is convicting. He begins chapter 3 by in verse number 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. Well, if we just take the top part of that passage, that top part of the verse, and we just read it, here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, every person has a problem with their tongue. And if they say they don't, they're perfect. And then it says this, and able to bridle the whole body. Wherein you'll read in the next few verses, it's impossible to do that. We have the idea of, okay, I used my language wrong. Let me try to start using my language right. And if you're like me, the more you try, the more you flop. And I think, oh, I was trying so hard and it just came out. Where did that come from? Well, the Bible's clear in chapter 3 where it came from. You begin chapter 3 and he says, we all have a problem with our tongue. So let's first understand the power of the tongue. He will use the illustration here in Scripture of a ship, and a giant ship, and it is steered about in the water by a very small helm, very small member, wherever the governor wants it to be. He uses another picture of a horse that is a powerful beast, but yet it is guided about by what's in its mouth. Several years ago, and I'm from the North Carolina coast, so we have something that I don't think you have it around in Arizona, called fish camps. A fish camp is a place where you walk in the door, and you stand still, and you shift your weight, and you slide to the other end of the restaurant. Okay, that's just the grease, okay? And then you sit there at the table, and you can eat all you can eat fish, all you can eat shrimp and hush puppies, and you throw your bones in a hole in the middle of the table, and at the bottom of the table, there's a trash can. It's just part of the deep Southeast that you have to get used to. Well, that's how I grew up. We were in a fish camp several years ago, and in that part of the country, they had a lot of horse pulls, seeing what horses in the town were the strongest horses. And inside the fish camp, there was a plaque that was in memory of some famous horse, some kind of a breed of Clydesdale, which is supposed to be one of the largest horses. And they had a horseshoe from this horse, and it was twice the size of my head. And I thought, sometimes I feel like I have a big head, but that's huge. I mean, that's a horse's foot. And you have these massive beasts. And the Bible will say here, you're able to control the horse simply by what you put in its mouth. If the horse will allow it. I learned a couple years ago, I am not a cowboy. Okay? Now, I have worked a lot with horses, but I'm short and I'm a redhead. And when was the last time you saw a short redheaded being a cowboy? You just don't see it. They burn like lobsters. It doesn't work out here. But I was with a pastor in New Mexico, and he asked me if I'd like to go horse riding on the mesas in New Mexico. I thought, sure. I mean, this is an opportunity to fellowship with the pastor. No, not really. But we got out there. He pulls open the horse trailer, and I look, and I'm looking at something that's not a horse. He said we were going horseback riding. I didn't know what it was, but it wasn't a horse. I know what a horse looks like. It wasn't a donkey. I'm thankful for that. He begins to lead these things out of the horse trailer, and it was just an oversized, dumb horse called a mule. I was ready to go back home. Especially when he told me that the mule I would be riding was named Stormy. I thought, you got to be kidding me. Now, at that time, I only had my Wolverine boots, not cowboy boots. And you know that they're not narrow, and you know they're wide, and once they get caught in the stirrup, they don't come out very well. And so we begin riding way up in the mesas, and I'd pull this way and Stormy go that way. I thought, this is crazy. He'd go this way, I'd pull back. He'd want to keep going, and I'd pull on the reins. When I'd tell him to stop, it was awful. He was getting mad at me. I was getting mad at him. And you know, when a horse gets mad, he starts spewing out here. And I thought, this is not going well. The pastor and his son were ahead of me, and I'm trying to control Stormy, and it's not working. And then something happened. He saw a rattlesnake. And Stormy began to let loose, and he began to jump and buck. The pastor turned around. He said he'd watched and ridden in rodeos for years, and he had not seen what I was doing. I was trying to jump free, but my Wolverine was caught in the stirrup. And I'd go up, and he'd come down. And I mean, it was just back and forth. We'd meet in the middle, and he kept moving and moving and moving to the ledge. And I'm looking over the ledge, which is a drop of about 250 feet. And as he keeps moving toward the ledge, and that sand keeps giving way, I'm thinking, I'm a goner. Because if I go, he goes, and he lands on top of me, and I'm done for. You know, a squashed preacher. And finally, the last second, within about an inch and a half of the edge, Stormy stops. I was done. I got my Wolverine out of the stirrup, and I thought, no more! Because he could not be controlled by what was in his mouth. Sounds an awful lot like some people we know, don't we? Doesn't it? Or maybe we find ourselves there sometimes. And James here, he says, you can control a ship by a small member. You can control a person by what they say. But if a person is uncontrollable, all they will do is begin to start fires. You read here in the passage, and he talks about the power of the tongue. But then he goes on to talk about the destruction or the poison or the problem with the tongue. Notice what he will say in verse number 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. He goes on and he says in verse number 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. We live in a fifth wheel, RV. I do not allow my wife to have candles. Because if you get on YouTube and you type in RV fires, you'll see what happens when one spark hits an RV, and in 2 minutes flat, the entire RV is leveled. So it scares me to death. I think all it's going to take is one candle getting knocked over. Now she's figured out a way to do it. You can get this little special light that you can shine on top of a candle, and it's supposed to melt, you know, all those pretty things. But I don't let any flame inside our house because I know the destructive nature. Now, wait a minute. Did you know a fire can also be used for good? Have a fireplace. A fireplace is nice, isn't it? Especially when it's cold outside. It's comforting. It's warming. But a fire that's out of control is destructive. And he says here, the tongue is a fire. And it's a world of iniquity. And what we say, if we're not in control, under control, it will affect those around us. It will destroy. It's as if we're spewing out fire to destroy others who are listening to us. And he begins to talk about its destructive nature, and he begins to talk about how it is set on fire. It is set on fire of hell. You know, I really think that the devil loves it when we do not allow our tongues to be controlled. It's straight from him. You'll read in the Word of God how that he, the devil, is the father of lies. You'll read about how the devil will say things and tempt, and everything that he is about words and how he says something. And if God's people are not careful, our words can be used not for God's glory, but for the glory of the devil. You know, when he says that, that's pretty strong. Set on fire of hell. So our words will either build up or destroy, dependent upon what it is controlled by. He goes on and he will say this in verse number 7. He says, "For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind." Now, there are some animals that I think it would be really neat to tame. There are others I have no desire to tame. The founder of the Bill Rice Ranch, for a while, he had a pet lion. I think that would be pretty cool. And he would travel with his dog and his lion in the back of his station wagon, and he'd pull into town. And I mean, you talk about the crowds that would gather. I've often thought, man, what can I travel with? Two little girls and a snail. That's what we travel with. Nobody's impressed by that. But I read this and I think, wow, the animals that can be tamed. My girls, I think they would love it if we could tame a koala bear. JJ would absolutely go nuts if we could tame a flamingo. I think there will be some neat animals to tame. But I think it says here you can even tame serpents. And I think, mm-mm. Not me. I'm happy for you if you can blow on a flute and it will obey you, but the day that you blow the wrong note, look out. But you know, it says it has been tamed. Every beast has been tamed. Every bird can be tamed. Serpents can be tamed. But then it says this, but the tongue can no man tame. When I read that, I think, great! You've begun chapter 3 by saying the tongue is powerful. Now the tongue has a problem and it is a poison. Great, I need to now control my tongue. And then it says, you can't control it. Come on now. That's not how the Bible works, is it? I mean, I cannot find anywhere in the Bible where the Bible says, here's the problem, figure it out. That's not what the Bible does. It never says, okay, you have a problem. When you get to heaven, I'll give you the solution. That's not what he says. What he does say is the tongue can no man tame. We try harder to say something better. We try harder to keep it under control. We try harder to think first and then speak. And he says, stop. Man cannot tame his tongue. The words that we say. What about the words that we say to our children? The words that would cut down or malign. The words that we say to our spouses that would destruct. And all of us could say, that's not me. But wait. James 3, it is us. And we all have a problem. So what do we do about it? We have to go to the only one who made our tongue. And we must seek his help, his control, not ours. The tongue can no man tame. He'll go on and he will say in verse number 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. In other words, our mouth, many times, we as God's people who James is talking to, we use our words to tear down, and then we turn right back and use our words to someone else to bless them. You see that in church a lot, don't you? At least as a preacher, many times when we arrive at a church to preach for a revival meeting or Sunday or whatever, I'll be standing at the front door of the church with the preacher. And you can hear all kinds of things from people coming in from the parking lot on Sunday morning. Isn't it interesting how the devil fights on Sunday morning? I'm not trying to blame the devil for us getting up late or the iron not working or the kid having a blowout before you walk out the door. And I'm not trying to be inappropriate, but you know, terminology changes when you become a parent. It's interesting. And I've stood at the door countless times, and I hear the kids come in first usually. And they'll say something like this: "Hey, how are you doing today?" "Oh, I'm doing great, but boy, Daddy and Mama had an awful fight on the way to church this morning." And he marches off to a Sunday school class like he's done his duty. He told the preachers, he's done. Well, then the parents come in. And you ask the husband, because that's what you're supposed to do first. You ask the husband, you say, "How are you?" Why do we even ask people how they are? Because either they lie to you or they tell the truth and we don't want to hear it. "How are you doing?" "Oh, preacher, if I was any better, I'd be twins." I don't even know what that means. "But your son just said you had a fight on the way to church." You see, treat your spouse one way, or your kids one way, and we treat somebody else another way. And God says, that ought not so to be. Our tongue needs to be controlled. Our tongue, beyond controlled, our tongue needs to be tamed, and it can only be tamed when we run to Jesus and give it to Him. You hear this: think before you speak. Well, maybe because our minds and our hearts are desperately wicked, maybe instead of thinking before we speak, we should ask God before we speak. "Does this please you? Should I say this?" Who was it? Was it George Washington that would say, "It would be better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt"? It would be better to keep our mouths shut than to open them and spew fire. Oh, we say things in jest, don't we? We say things to be silly. I've been in people's homes before where all the husband can do is make fun of his wife, and I think, man, she puts up with you, you better keep your mouth shut. Or when the parents, all they can do is tell the kid, "Come on now, can't you do better than that?" What? That has no place in our homes. Or we speak one way to our coworker and another way at church. Or, by the way, our kids know. Our spouses know. Our friends know. And God says, here's the problem. You have a tongue that is set on fire of hell. So you need it to be quenched by the Holy Spirit. Yield to Him. Trust Him so that He can use your tongue for good. Doesn't He say, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying"? Doesn't David say, "Lord, put a watch about my mouth"? In other words, I can't. You can. We have all said things that we regret, right? We have all heard things that we would say, "Ooh, if you only knew what you were saying, you'd regret it." It's not that we've said wrong. It's that we have thought wrong, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? So it's taking our tongue And not us trying to control it, but us yielding to the Spirit and letting our tongue be controlled by the Holy Spirit, by us following Bible truths, by us saying what would please God, because everything we say, good or bad, will build up or tear down. We all know people that use their tongues inappropriately. But if we thought hard enough, all of us do the same thing. Oh, maybe we could put it on a scale, but it doesn't seem like God does that in James 3. God says your tongue is a world of iniquity. So like David, would you put a guard about my mouth? Our tongue is powerful. Our tongue is a poison. And our tongue can be a paradox if we let it. This versus this. Instead, let's just put it in the protection of the Lord and let the Lord control what we say. And when we don't do it right, let's not blame Him. Let's blame ourselves. Confess it and get back into walking in the Spirit. So I ask you, your tongue, how's it doing? Oh, it's a little member. But it can do a lot of good or a lot of bad depending upon who we allow to tame it.